Jesus, you came to seek and save those who are lost, never leaving the one behind. We celebrate with heaven for everyone that responds to your love and your call. And even this morning, through your Holy Spirit, communicating and sharing how real you are, opening up the reality that you're not just a word, but you are the Son of the living God. Father, thank you as you draw people to your Son. And we thank you for this morning. We thank you around our nation as many people will hear you speak to us and speak to their hearts and communicate to them, making truth come alive within. So we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit within each and every one of us and throughout our nations. And this we receive today through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go to Hebrews chapter 4? Very well known scripture that is often spoken about and quoted, and I think it's close to all of our hearts. And it's from verse 14 where we read over here, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the different aspects of God's grace, and we, again, just to recap, we focused on where each and every one of us, we have received grace. It was by grace we came into salvation. It was the work of God. And so all of us have experienced the reality of grace, but there's grace upon grace, and we are learning to grow in grace. We are learning how to be strengthened in the grace of God. So it's not just grace for salvation. It's God's grace that is for every single life situation that we can take hold of and experience and find this incredible gift of God operating within us as we experience His grace. So we've been looking at these particular areas of grace for a period of time. And here in Hebrews, the writer is addressing the Jews who are believers in Christ Jesus. And so he's sharing with them because they had going through a struggle of unbelief, of doubt, doubting, because they've got hundreds of years of tradition. They've got culture. They've got the way they've been taught. They've got the whole religious, sacrificial, old covenant practices. That's they've lived in that. They've grown up in that. They've got generations of all of us. And now they simply believed in Jesus Christ. And so the writer here is communicating and he's addressing and he's highlighting again Jesus Christ. So the whole book of Revelations, you'll see all the time, it's a revelation of Jesus. And he always compares and he says, but he's greater than Moses. He's greater than the law. And he keeps on pointing and lifting up Jesus Christ so that they focus upon Jesus once again so that they can be strengthened in their faith. And this is why this particular invitation for them to come to the throne of grace, that they can be strengthened, they can receive help in their lives so that they continue in their journey with God, in their journey of faith. And so we see in Hebrews chapter 1 where the writer is speaking about the Son of God, that he is superior to the angels, all the time emphasizing our Lord Jesus Christ to them. Because they simply believed, they heard the gospel, they accepted Jesus Christ, but the temptation to go back. And you and I face that all the time. So it's very real to us where we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, but the world and everything and what happens around us, sometimes we start to not believe the Word of God. And we start to get this doubt. And we don't want doubt to win. We want faith to be the victorious reality in our lives. And then he goes on, and in chapter 2, after really speaking so much of who Jesus Christ is, he goes on and he says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels were binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And he then carries on that, listen, this salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So once again, he's helping them. Listen, you're going through a battle. There's a lot of pressure on you to go back to the old ways of the practice of the Jewish old covenant religion. You're in a new covenant now. It's a different way of worshiping God. It's a different understanding of what sonship is all about, what it is to be a child of God, what the blood of Jesus Christ has done. All the time, he's pointing them back to that over there. So he says, but you must pay careful attention. So he's emphasizing, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility here. You must pay careful attention of what you first heard. Going back, you know, like when Jesus spoke about the first love, going back to what you first heard, get established again in what you heard when God became real to you and Christ became real to you and you received him as your Lord and Savior. And then he carries on and he speaks now about the humanity of Jesus, which is important for them to understand the invitation to approach the throne of grace. And he carries on and he speaks about Jesus. And let me just read over there. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And just that, I haven't gone into that yet, but he has something very unique for us to understand concerning the devil, who has a power over death, who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And there's something about us, and I think it's connected to the blatant abortion that takes place. And for us as believers to understand something about what Christ has done, that it destroyed the power of death. And there's something here for us to press in. And that, so that's part of my journey, is to get more revelation on that. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants, that's you and I, who have faith in Christ Jesus. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So again, bringing it back to Jesus, the humanity of Jesus. He also went through everything. He faced realities of humanity, but he never allowed any of that to overcome him. He always overcome all these temptations and trials and the limitations of humanity. And we see Jesus there. And that's why all the time, even in Hebrews 11, about the great faith, of Hebrews 12, the great faith, after the great faith, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. All the time through the book of Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, consider him, look at him. Spend time with him and getting to know who he is and what he has done. And then in chapter 3, he continues and he goes on. He said, but Jesus is much greater than Moses. And he continues to share. And then in chapter 3, in verse 12, he says over here, see to it, brothers. So once again, he's emphasizing, listen, guys, You have a responsibility here. You've got to take every thought captive. You yourself have got to press in. You've got to abide in Jesus Christ. You've got to get established in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're going to be drift away. You've got to walk in the faith that you have received. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And that's the battle right now that the writer is addressing over there. Who has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end and the confidence we had at first. As he goes on, as he had just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And then he carries on and he shares over there that they'd never entered into the promise of God because they hardened their heart. They did not combine what they heard. The promises of God was faith. They ignored that and they could not enter into the rest that God had promised. And he's warning there. So that he moves into chapter 4 where he's saying once again, listen, now we have a rest that they didn't understand. The rest is in Christ Jesus. And it's by faith that you've entered into this rest in Christ Jesus. And he continues to say, but don't harden your heart. Keep on yielding to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him, responding to him. Keep on walking in the faith that God birthed in us. Keep on being obedient to the Holy Spirit's prompting. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, as he speaks to you and I, don't harden our hearts. Because when you're hardening your hearts, we're moving into that rebelliousness over there. And there's no rest in that place. And there's just confusion, there's turmoil within our own hearts. And then he carries on and he then emphasizes something important here. For the word of God is living and active. So God speaks. Now he's bringing in the reality of just the power of the word of God. Listen, God has spoken. God speaks. There's no escaping what God speaks and what he shares. There's no ducking and diving. God's not going to change his mind and say, oh, I feel sorry for you because there was a bit of legalism in your culture and you are, no, there's no compromising. Christ is, he's the way, the truth is in Jesus. So he carries on and that's why he brings in the power of the word now, because the word, it exposes these things in our lives. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so he's addressing something we can pretend, you know, that we believe in that, but our hearts God, cannot escape God's incredible truth and how God knows our hearts, etc. And so the Holy Spirit works in our lives and he starts to share things that are hidden and we didn't even know we had issues in our hearts of unbelief or rebelliousness, whatever it may be. And then he says, but now guys, this is God's solution. He has God's solution. The Holy Spirit will search your hearts. The Word of God will break through and penetrate and pierce and expose. But he has the solution. And he goes on and he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. Now, today we're wanting to just get more established on how to appropriate God's grace, how to live in it, how to allow the grace of God to operate within our lives as we experience the reality of what the Word of God is saying over here. Now, what's important, first of all, is in John chapter 1, verse 14, remember when John writes there that the law came through Moses, okay? But grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ. We see over there that the fullness and again, we looked at that where the fullness of God's grace and the fullness of God's truth comes through His Son Jesus. So you and I know that our Heavenly Father only works in and through His Son Jesus Christ. So you and I know that the way we are going to live and receive grace and mercy and truth, etc., is only through Jesus Christ. That is why He is the High Priest. That is why the writer of the us keep on pointing us back to Jesus, because the way the Father deals with us, whatever situation that we will find ourselves in, the way our Heavenly Father is going to release and help us is in and through His Son Jesus, the great High Priest. Because grace and truth only comes through Him. And that's important, because we don't want to bypass that truth. We could run out to many, many to try and get help in our situation and be missing the grace, the powerful working of God operating in our lives, and be settling for second best of trying to get help from any other source. So he goes on and he says, now, our first response, he says, because what if we face a problem, what's our first response? Our first response is probably panic. It's probably fear. It's probably, oh no, how am I going to handle this? It's probably all those things, those thoughts that go around, and that I don't have enough money. How am I going to pay for this stuff? You know, you all experience these things. And that's normally our first response. But that's not where we stop, because we move on. You see, we move on from the first response. We move on to approaching the throne of grace. That's crucial. Otherwise, we get stuck in all the things that are taking place, and we never enter and we, oh God, he has an answer over here that comes only through your Son Jesus. And so he points back to Jesus, therefore, and that's an important word, therefore, because it's a fact. This is the fact of the matter. This is the reality of for us as children of God. Since we have a great high priest, again, grace and truth is coming through Christ Jesus, who has gone through the heavens. Now, just that, again, it's good to go back and meditate on these things in your own time. He has gone through the heavens. Just a moment over there. What did Jesus say to his disciples when he was telling about him, telling them that he was going back to the Father? He says in John chapter 14, and speaking about returning back to the Father, and he says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Okay, and then again in John chapter 16, as he continues, and he says to them, listen guys, I have told you these things so that in me, the great high priest, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. That's the reality. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And now we see here in Hebrews chapter 4, where we see over there, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, so we notice something profound here. The devil had no hold over Jesus, and he has gone through. He has ascended. So he has overcome this world. And now as you and I, no matter what we are facing, whatever situation it may be, we know that we can come to our great high priest, and we know that the devil had never had a hold over him. We know that he has overcome this world. So because he has overcome this world, every situation that you and I face, it may be tough, you've got troubles, but take heart. He has overcome, and the great high priest who has overcome, the Father sends grace and truth through him to empower us, to help us in our troubles. This is God's incredible provision for us as His children, as believers in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we just don't realize what we have as his children. And he's sharing with, this is what you have. So the invitation, don't get stuck into that problem in the first response and go into that dip. No, don't get stuck over there, because we have a great high priest who has overcome all of this, and we can approach the throne of God's grace to receive help and mercy in our time of need. So again, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. The world doesn't have what we have. This is what we have. Okay, this is why we're different. This is why we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the living God. This is the incredible privilege, the great joy and honor that we have as his children. And then he carries on and he says over here, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, he's emphasizing Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Again, just let us hold firmly. This word here, let us hold firmly. It's something that we take, and it's almost like an aggressive taking. That's why he says over there in chapter 2 and chapter 3, now consider. See, there's an effort, there's a renewing of the mind, there's a conscious decision that we take. Jesus, you have overcome. You are the great high priest standing and interceding for us. You know all about my situations, and I come to you, and you're taking hold of it. You keep on until you find this faith rising up within you to really take hold of your given situation, of the grace of God for our given situation. So therefore let us take hold firmly to the faith we profess. Don't let go again. Keep on. What does the word of God say? How do we stay in the faith of Christ? Fix your eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Okay? Keep on abiding in him. Keep on in the word of God. Keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to minister. Keep on, as early on, encouraging one another daily, so that we will not harden our hearts and be deceived by the sinfulness of humanity and the world, what the world gives to you and I. And then he carries on and he says over here, for we do not have a great heart, we do not have a priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Our weaknesses over here, it's a very broad word. So it's dealing with sickness, it's dealing with disease, it's dealing with our human limitations, it's dealing with our frailties, it's dealing with all the problems and all the situations that you and I face in this world. And Jesus, we say, but Jesus, you lived in that time. What do you know about today? And we could come up with kind of argument and we're missing out. But remember, Jesus took upon himself, Isaiah chapter 53, he took upon himself all humanity's iniquity, all humanity's distress, all humanity's suffering. He took upon himself on the cross. Why do you think he sweated blood? We can see something far more than what we can even imagine what our Lord Jesus took upon himself. Yet was without sin. So he's sharing some incredible, valuable truths of you. No matter what the world chucks at us, no matter our situation, we have one who's able to help us, one who understands our human limitations, the one who understands everything about our lives. But he never allowed any of that to overcome him. He overcame the world. So we have one that we can come to because he overcame. Lord, we need grace now. And this is the invitation that he then takes us into when he shares over here. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And then in verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So here's the invitation for all of us. Let us then. So that's a decision that you and I make again. Okay. So our first response, fear, panic, how am I going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And it's that there. And let me find a friend. This is my problem. Let me tell my friend this, blah, blah, blah. And let me find this one, please, blah, blah, blah. That's normally our first response if we're honest with ourselves. But then the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth. And we know that we are a child of God. And then we move on and we come and we say, but Jesus, thank you that you understand my life. You understand this problem. But the great news is that you've overcome this stuff. And now, as I've been born again, I live in you. Oh, there's a deep truth over there. I live in you. And therefore, the reality of you overcoming all this stuff, there's a grace now that's coming by your Holy Spirit from you to empower me to be able to live, to be able to start to grow, to be able to be strengthened, to be able to experience your divine help in this situation, to be able to move on. To move forwards in life. So we don't stop there. And then we can continue now, because now we can, now God is working with us, we're experiencing grace. So now we can move into Philippians 4, where Paul writes over there, rejoice in the Lord always. Because we're experiencing the grace of God, the empowering of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowering us, strengthening us. So now we open up in worship, we can rejoice, we can give thanks. We can come with Him with all kinds of our prayers and requests, giving thanks with God. And the peace of God is guarding our hearts and our minds. The grace of God is at work because we've approached the throne of grace. We haven't ignored what God has provided for us as believers. And we're receiving it. We're standing in this incredible grace of God. And let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, so that we may receive. It's not that, I wonder if God's going to give us grace. No, that we may receive. It's a fact. Have faith. Come to the throne. Know what our Lord Jesus has done. He has overcome all this stuff. Know that in Him, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. The Father's going to answer the prayer because we're coming through the great high priest, Jesus Christ, and we're going to receive in and through Jesus God's incredible grace, mercy in our time of need. Sometimes we don't like that word time of need, have you? Because it's the appropriate time. It may not be your now, but it's God's appropriate time because He knows what's happening in our lives. And at that appropriate time, we'll find the solution. But in the meantime, we're experiencing a grace that is coming into our lives, strengthening us as we walk in faith. So for me, this is an important word for us right now. I think many Christians are looking at world events. Many Christians are going through tough times. We all can share our stories. Just read Matthew 24 about the signs of the second coming of Jesus. We read Revelations and all of these things over there. We see what's the world events and so forth. And we as believers have been given a gift. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to practice how to apply the grace of God, how to receive the grace of God. He wants to strengthen it. Build our faith so that we are learning no matter what situation you and I face ourselves in, we can come. We're practicing now. We're preparing now. We're practicing to come. Jesus, my first response used to be that now my first response is I'm coming to you. Coming to you because you know me. Your spirit is in me. Never will you leave nor forsake us. You are the great high priest. You understand all of this. You've made a way for us to receive the help from our Heavenly Father. Thank you for that. and we receive that. So that's why James writes that when we do ask, we're not asking for the wrong motives, for selfish needs, etc. We're asking with a heart full of faith because we are children of God and God has called us to say in our distress, we can come to Him through His Son Jesus. See, the name Jesus is not just a name. It's a person. And when we speak the name of Jesus, we come, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come in because we know we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's real. We know what He's done. We know how He's overcome. We know that the devil has no hold. Lord, we're coming in Your name. Thank You. You understand. Father, coming in the name of Your Son, who He is, and we're receiving that. So let us be strengthened as the Holy Spirit reminds us in our lives what we have been given. And our first response. Often they say the firemen, the first responders running into the fire, we run into the great high priest. Let's learn that lesson. But it takes a practice because we've got a habit of first looking at the negative and seeing the negative and spending hours in the negative, in allowing our mind to be chewed up by the negative and our words to be reflecting the negative and the despondency. There's no faith in all of that. No, that's not us. There's a grace for us to walk in faith, and that's what we're learning. So let's practice and let's encourage one another to keep on realizing there's a grace. And now we go back to the grace that God has given. Let us work with that grace, because it's not I, but it's the grace of God. Let us be strengthened in the grace, allowing God's grace, God's involvement strengthening you and I. And let us then continue to grow as we are now growing in this grace. So no matter how big a problem may be, we have grown in the grace, because we've been practicing in the little things right now. Amen. Oh, so Father, thank You this morning as we have the communion with You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, that You answer our prayers in and through Your Son, Jesus. What He has already done, it is profound. The grace that we are asking for comes through Your Son, Jesus. That's how You deal with us as Your children. Thank You for that. What a safe place to be in You, Jesus, and how the Father ministers to us through You. It's such a joy to know how the Father ministered to You, and we are also now sons and daughters of God through You, Jesus Christ. We're in the family. We are in You. We live, we abide, we have our identity in You. We move in You. Those scriptures, we ask that You, by Your Spirit, open that up. Father, we ask this morning as we spend time with You that Your Holy Spirit will testify to our spirit Your fatherhood, Abba Father, in every situation in life, whether it is a problem or a victory, whether it is no or yes, amen. May we hear Your Holy Spirit saying Abba Father to our spirit, that we may know the joy of being fathered by You and know the reality of the provision of Your involvement, of Your grace, of Your power, enabling us to be able to take the next step and to be able to face our tomorrows, our next years with confidence and boldness because of what You have provided for us. Jesus, I'm asking that by Your incredible truth, that the fears in our minds, You will minister into that with Your truth, so that that fear will be removed with truth, so that we may know this perfect love of Yours for us. The anxieties that we face, the uncertainties that we face. Thank You that You've called us to come to the throne of grace. And it's such a joy to know that You use the word throne of grace, because through You, Jesus, grace reigns. What a joy to know that as we come, grace reigns over our situation. Grace reigns over our problems. So we receive this reigning grace of Yours And we give you the praise. Father, thank you for the blood of your Son and his sacrifice. Thank you what you did in reconciling us. And I ask, Father, this morning for anyone that has not yet experienced how real you are, that today will be a day where they will be able to know how awesome, how good, what an incredible God you are through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.